Imagine you are in a room with doors locked. Inside is a group of friends who are huddling together, still trembling. They've just survived the most violent, terrifying days of their lives. Their leader, who carried their hope, has just been executed as a common criminal. The authorities believe he was not working alone and will want to hunt down his friends. But they are not only afraid of these authorities, they are also ashamed, because when he needed them most, some of them ran away and others openly denied knowing him. This is the situation we encounter in the Gospel of John this morning. John writes, on the evening, that first day of the week, the disciples were together with doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders. Some of us know this experience of locked doors. Where we live in fear, in the doors of anxiety, of grief, of shame, of broken relationships. Sometimes in the doors locked that even us do not have the appropriate language to name what is inside. In those doors, something happens because Jesus enters these locked doors and things start changing. That evening, when Jesus entered these locked doors, he did not start by saying, "Shame on you, cowards and traitors, you abandoned me at my time of need." Nor does he say, "You didn't even believe I would rise, or you of little faith." No. The first words Jesus speaks are, "Peace be with you." In John 20, we realize that "peace be with you" is said three times. Why does Jesus speak of peace when the external conditions are violent and threatening? Jesus is offering an alternative understanding of peace because he has just been executed under another program of peace. It's called Pax Romana, the peace of Rome. This is peace that is enforced through crucifixions, through soldiers, through terror. It is the peace which we hear about these days, peace through strength. It is peace through violence, peace through fear and intimidation. And that's why Jesus is offering a different kind of peace. The peace he recalls from John 14, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives, I give you." So when the Lord enters the locked rooms today, he does so not to shame us, not to lecture us, but to give us this kind of peace. And many of us are desperately in need of this peace, as individuals, as families, but also as nations. We are in desperate need of this kind of peace because there is so much turmoil around us and sometimes inside us. He gives this kind of peace, which is not peace based on strength, on domination, on control, but peace that is conscious of vulnerability, of the wounds. Because after saying peace, Jesus invites his disciples to look at his hands and his side, which are still broken. So the risen Lord, yes, of course, has conquered death. He has conquered the grave. But he does not erase the evidence of violence. The scars remain. Because peace in the Bible is not forgetfulness, is not amnesia. Peace is not pretending that hate didn't happen. Peace is the offer of a possibility that reconciliation is possible even with the wounds still present. Only this kind of peace, wounded peace, is the peace from which Jesus sends his disciples into the world. And so he breathes his Holy Spirit on them. Now you would realize that in the Gospel of John, the giving of the Holy Spirit happens in the same context of Jesus suffering, death, resurrection, and the promise to come back. Unlike in Luke Acts, where the Spirit is given at Pentecost. In John, the package, the whole package of salvation is tied together. John is saying the ministry of the Holy Spirit is in continuity with the ministry of Jesus, but also in continuity with the ministry of those who are going to witness to this story of the risen Lord. But what is the mission? What is this mission? It is the mission to forgive and retain sins. I understood the first part, the forgiving of sins. Because, yes, this is how reconciliation is achieved. But what is this retaining of sins? Because this harder part of Jesus' command is normally not understandable to us. We skip it over. But retaining sins is not a license for us to hold grudges. It is an invitation for us to take the gift of forgiveness seriously. Retaining sins is the painful task of pronouncing that without accepting forgiveness through repentance, we forfeit this precious gift of forgiveness. It loses its power if it is announced and it is not received with transformation and change of mind, of life, with metanoia. If there is no change, the gift of forgiveness loses its power. Jesus is not sending his disciples to speak about blanket forgiveness or some cheap grace, as my tradition would say. The risen Lord, the one who is wounded, who is vulnerable, who is gracious, is also demanding. He demands that there are consequences for forgiveness, and these are consequences of change and transformation. Having given this mission in the week past, one of the disciples is missing. I was asking myself when I was reading this passage, what happens when we miss fellowship? But when Jesus encounters Thomas, he does not start by asking him, "You missed last Sunday." Others had told him, "We have seen the Lord." And he couldn't believe it, not in a negative way. He says, "Unless I see the nail marks, I will not believe." Yes, we know that he has been called the doubting Thomas because of this statement and because of the response of Jesus. But in this context, maybe it was a normal reaction. He is an honest disciple who is going through a lot because of what has just happened. He verbalizes that which most of the disciples, maybe including us, sometimes think about but do not say. Jesus does not scold him for not being at the same pace with others. He does not shame him for the honest questions he is raising. Instead, Jesus appears again and gives him a chance the following week. And when Thomas makes this great confession after being invited to touch the wounds and to touch the signs, he makes this great confession, "My Lord and my God." The gospel recorded Thomas' struggle to acknowledge questions that attend to discipleship. Thomas only represents us when we show up despite the doubts. I was asking myself, does it mean that we participate in fellowship, in celebration of the risen Lord, because we are now sure about everything about this story? Thomas represents what we should be. We do not relinquish fellowship. We do not relinquish participation simply because some things are not clear. There are so many things that may fail to be clear in fellowship. Sometimes a word spoken by one who claims to be a disciple may put us off and believe maybe we do not need to be in fellowship. But Jesus' affirmation of Thomas, Jesus giving Thomas a second chance, is a confirmation just that as we participate in fellowship, God continues to reveal himself through the risen Lord. And at the end, Jesus then turns the story to talk to those who were not in the room 2,000 years ago. And he says, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." This is faith, not certainty without doubt, but trust that the risen Lord enters these locked doors and he still speaks peace to us today. This is faith. When we can connect with this experience of those who are hidden behind closed doors and are surprised by his presence and accepts the gift of peace that he gives us. Today is a special day for us as a family. Exactly 1 year tomorrow, our father passed away. To be honest, the message of the resurrection is not very convincing the moment you experience loss. Sometimes the brokenness is too deep for us to connect this promise of the resurrection message with the experiences of loss. But it was my prayer that today, as we are going to gather around this table to receive the body and the blood of the risen Lord, that we may be joined with that cloud of witnesses of those who have believed before us, that we may be joined with all those who believed before us, those who nurtured us in the faith, those who await the final resurrection. As we are going to touch the bread and drink from the cup, that we may be reminded that in the wounds of the world, Jesus continues to present himself as resurrected and presenting himself as the promise of life. That we may enjoy the peace that he gives not as the world can give. And that through the forgiveness of sins, the gift of the Holy Spirit, we may also anticipate this power of the resurrection. Amen.